great to be here with you to hear about Joel. Joel came to us at First Baptist way back years ago, 25 years ago maybe. And he and Jane were such delightful people to meet, and we enjoyed having them at the church. And I was short on staff at that time, and I knew of his interest in ministry, and so I invited him to come and serve on our staff, and he did a good job until y'all came and got him. And I think he's been a blessing to this church in all that time. So we love Joel and Jane, and I know you do too. I've heard enough this morning to know that you do love them very much. My wife is here this morning. She's the pretty part of our team, and she's been a sick lady with some cancer and heart problems and all those kind of things. So I'm glad that she's able to be with me today. In John chapter 9, I want you to turn your attention to that this morning. And I'm going to read a portion of it now and then some more of it a little bit later. But in John chapter 9, Jesus was passing by. He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works may be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit begging?" Some said, "He's the one." Others were saying, "No, but he looks like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And when I went and washed, I received my sight." "Where is he?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. Then down in verse 25, I'll get to these other verses a little bit. Verse 25, after another question, he answered them, "Whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I can see." Do you know that? Wow. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for touching lives the way you have this man's life and our lives so well. Lord, once I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. I was blind to the blessings of God, but now I can see. Thank you so much, Father. May your name always be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you hear the story in the news not long ago up in Wisconsin in one of the malls? The police received a call that said a man was bothering some women in the ladies' restroom. Well, so they came to see about it, brought the man outside, said, what do you think you're doing? And he said, what are you doing in a ladies' restroom? He said, "Well, I thought it'd be a good place to meet women." Now, if you look up the word clueless on the internet, you may see his picture. I would hope so. A lot of people are clueless about a lot of things. But when it comes to sharing our faith, you shouldn't be clueless. And when it comes to the part of becoming a person of faith, of trusting Jesus, you don't have to be clueless about that. Well, what do I need to know to become a Christian? What do I need to know to share my faith if I'm already a Christian? How much scripture do I have to memorize? Do I have to be able to find Habakkuk on a Bible drill? Do I have to know what a two-seed spirit predestinarian Baptist means? I don't know what that means. What do I know about last things? How much of the Bible should I memorize? How many plans of salvation do I have to know before I can tell someone how to become a Christian? I know the Roman road, faith, evangelism explosion, the WIN program? What do I have to know? Do I have to have a degree? Do I have to have gone to seminary? How much education do I need to tell someone how to be saved? How many years must I be a Christian before I can tell someone how they can know Jesus as Savior? Today I want you to put all that aside. You're not clueless. There's just one thing you need to know, and I read those words a moment ago, and I'll come back to them many times here. Just one thing you need to know. But first, I want you to put away things that you don't have to know, like this man did. In the first five verses, he found out you don't have to know the origin of evil. The disciples found out you don't have to know the origin of evil. We fear that when we share Jesus with someone, they may ask a question that we may not be able to answer. So as Jesus walked through Jerusalem with his disciples one day, they saw a familiar sight that you see around churches and religious sites and all those things, a beggar. They go there because they think, maybe somebody will have pity on me. Maybe God will have pity on me. And so lots of people in Jerusalem were beggars. And here's a man, they walk by and they see a man who is born blind. He's begging. The disciples wanted to know why a man had to be born blind. What is the purpose of all this? You know, we humans like to set the blame, don't we? Well, I want to know why. I got to know. You got to answer my questions. So the disciples nudge each other and say, somebody asked Jesus why this man was born blind. Let's set the blame somewhere. Why are people blind? Well, your mama told you to quit running with those scissors, didn't she? Because you could blind yourself. Put down that stick and quit running. You could punch your eye out. Or all of us boys wanted a BB gun, didn't we? And what did mama say? You'll shoot your eye out. You know that. So a lot of people are like that. Some people have diseases. Some people have accidents. But we always want to know why, you see. Well, Jesus, somebody must have sinned, because the popular theology of that time was if somebody was sick, then somebody had sinned. Either the man or his parents, somebody close by, something's wrong here. And so the disciples asked the question, well, Jesus, this man was born blind, so who sinned, he or his parents? Jesus said, this is not about who sinned. That's not the question you need to be asking. You don't have to set the blame on this. I confess sometimes I don't know the answer to some questions. You have to realize that. Somebody sinned. The disciples want to know who sinned. What is the origin of bad things? Why do bad things happen to people? And what's the origin of evil and all those things? And Jesus could have turned to Job. He could have turned to the book of Genesis. He could have talked about the words from Ezekiel and all others. And he could have defined the origin of evil for these people. But really, they would not have understood. I have an iPad. They had a download the other day that new iOS download. I thought I'd download it onto my iPad. You know what it said? Insufficient memory. Now, there are a lot of things God could tell us, but the problem is insufficient memory. Some things I cannot understand, and you can't either. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the deep things are God's only. Now you need to understand that. Sometimes people will ask you a question. You say, well, I don't know, and I don't know anybody who does know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says there are some things that only God knows. So understand that. So Jesus didn't describe to them the origins of bad things and why bad things happen to people or good people or bad people or the origins of evil or anything like that. We would never understand that in this life. No, this man's blindness will become a sign. As a matter of fact, John has seven signs which point to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. And this is one of them. This is a sign. Hey, pay attention. This man is the Son of God. And this will be a sign. And when this man is healed, it will be to the glory of God. Do you hear what Jesus says there? This is to the glory of God. Something wonderful is going to happen here, to the glory of God. Whatever else has happened, whatever else has been caused, Jesus said some things are to the glory of God. The same thing happened when Lazarus died, didn't it? Oh, Lazarus, brother of Martha and Mary. They sent word to Jesus in time, they thought, to get him there to come and heal, because Jesus had healed so many other people, and Lazarus was one of his best friends, and surely Jesus would come and heal him, but Jesus didn't come in time. And the sisters were upset with Jesus. Why didn't you come when we called? The one you love is sick and died. And Jesus said, this is not unto his death. This is something for the glory of God. And wasn't it? Wasn't it? Which brings glory to God? That you get healed from some sickness, or that you get raised from the dead? One day you will know when Jesus raises you up. This is to the glory of God. And that's what this is going to be about. God will be glorified. I don't know why people are lost. I don't know why people are sick. But I do know that when they are saved, when they're baptized like up here, God is glorified. And you know that too. This whole thing is about the glory of God, folks. Well, you don't have to be able to understand everything, the origin of evil, the origin of sickness. And you don't have to know or understand how Jesus can change a life. You just have to know one thing, and I'll get to that before I'm through. Verses 6 through 12, that tells us that you don't have to understand how Jesus can change your life. Jesus moves toward the blind man and that day in Jerusalem to heal him. Why that day? Why somebody else? The sovereignty of God. Why this day? Why this person? But Jesus goes to work and he picks up a handful of dust and he spits in it. And he kneads it together and he makes a paste and he applies it to the blind man's eyes. And people say, what in the world is he doing out there on the streets of Jerusalem? What in the world's going on here? And he tells the man, go to Siloam, which was a pool, a place where people washed. Go there and wash your face, wash your eyes out. And it was to the south part of the city, so the man went away. Guess somebody led him down that way. And those watching could say, what good is all this? Why would he do this? What good was that? What good does it do to send him to Siloam? Nobody's ever healed a blind man. Don't you know that? What good will it do for this poor old man to traipse all the way down to the southern part of the city and wash at the pool of Siloam? Same thing today. What good will this do? What good does it do, somebody, some of your neighbors may ask and watch you get off to church this morning, what good does it go to? Good does it do to go to church? What good does it do to go to Sunday school? What good does it do to read your Bible? What good does it do to be a part of the women's ministry or the Sunday night Bible study? Or what good does a profession of faith mean? And what good is your paying your tithe to your church? Skeptics always ask, what good is it? And people were probably asking that in Jerusalem. But the man did what Jesus said. It's always a good thing to do what Jesus says, folks. You better believe it. Always good. And the man went and washed his eyes out, washed the mud out, and there was light. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? I can only imagine, we sang a while ago. Can you imagine? No, you can't, because you haven't been born blind. Only imagine what it was to look at, see a blue sky, to see the city, to see the faces of people around you, to see a cloud, to see a tree, to see a flower blooming. The first time ever in the man's life he'd seen anything like that. It would cause a sensation. The man goes back to where he started. He makes his way back up there where he had met Jesus. Didn't see Jesus anymore. Didn't see him the first time. But he doesn't see him. He doesn't know who he is. But he comes seeing, and somebody says, hey, you're excited about something. You're seeing all kind of, you're describing things. You're describing your mama and your daddy. You see their faces. You were born blind. What in the world has happened to you? It caused a sensation there. Aren't you the same guy who has been begging? That's what the people were saying. Neighbors and those who had seen him before, according to verse 8, said, isn't this the one who used to beg? And some of them said, yep, he's the one, all right. And others said, no, but he looks like him. Looks just like him, as a matter of fact. You got a twin brother? I don't know. It caused a sensation. What's happened to you? I am that man, he says. Well, how is it that you come seeing now? Nothing's ever happened like this in all the history of the world. I've known you for years. What's happened? And listen to what he said. The man called Jesus made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to go and wash, and I came back seeing. Where is he? Somebody said. Notice what he said. I don't know, verse 12. I don't know where he is now. I've never seen him. He was there. He gave me my sight, but I don't know. You see, you don't have to know and understand how Jesus can change a life. You don't have to know exactly how you're saved, except it's by the blood of Jesus and God's plan. I don't know. Well, you don't have to have a degree in theology to be able to share Jesus or to become a Christian, either one. This was such a disturbing thing in the streets of Jerusalem. It's unheard of. Nobody in the history of the world has ever been healed who was born blind. And so we got to have some answers to what in the world is going on in there. Well, they call in the theological experts, the Pharisees. Big Mr. Pharisee, there's something that's happened that's strange and we need an explanation. You guys know everything. The Pharisees will know. Well, what's happened here? Just give me the facts, folks. Well, this man right here was born blind, but now he's come seeing. Look at him. He's a grown man. Well, what happened to you? Explain what yourself. What do you claim happened here? Well, today, this day, keep that in mind, on this day, a man made some clay and put it in my eyes and told me to go and wash, and now I've come back seeing. Isn't that great? Can you imagine the excitement this guy had? Isn't that great? But one of the Pharisees gasped. He said, he did this today? Don't you know it's the Sabbath? You don't heal on the Sabbath. You don't knead and make clay. That's work. And you don't heal unless somebody is actually dying. But if they're just blind, you can wait till tomorrow. But you don't heal on the Sabbath. This man is a sinner. He broke the Sabbath in lots of ways here. He's a sinful man. He can't be from God. He's a sinner. Other people said, well, how could he be a sinner and do this if he is a sinner? So they had an argument. The Pharisees turned back to the man. What do you think he is? And the man answers this time. Notice how he is improving now. Maybe he's a prophet. You know, the prophets did miracles. Remember, Elijah did miracles. Maybe he's a prophet sent from God. They're all arguing about who Jesus is. Do you see the confusion here? No one understood the theology of the situation, even though the experts were there. Same thing with salvation. I don't understand how my sins could be forgiven. I don't understand what the cross has to do with it. I don't understand what the blood flowing from Jesus has to do with changing my life. You don't have to understand it. You accept it by faith. That's the way God deals with people like you and me. You don't have to understand it all. You won't understand it all. There was 1,400 years before, the blood had been shed in the days of the Exodus, and the people were saved by the blood over the doorpost. And now, the blood of Jesus upon your heart, that somehow saves you, and you don't understand it, and you don't understand why he would do it. But God did it. And it's hard for you and me to explain it. And that's what's happening right here. How do we understand this thing? I don't understand what in the world is going on here. There was a woman in Africa who wanted everybody else to know about Jesus in her. She was blind. She was 70 years old. She was able to tell other people, but nobody listened much. One day she met a missionary, and the missionary was speaking with her. She was saying, I'd like to tell people how to be saved like I am. Would you give me a New Testament, a French New Testament? The language where she lived was they were speaking French. He said, give me a New Testament in French and turn to John 3:16 and underline it in red. The missionary said, I don't know why, but that's what she wanted, so he did it. And so everybody wondered what she's going to do with this New Testament. She can't read. She can't even see. What in the world does she want a New Testament for? Well, they watched her. She went to the gate of a boys' school. Every afternoon when school was out, school would be out, boys would be walking by, and she'd say, hey, somebody help a blind woman. And some of the kids would walk by there and say, what can I do for you, ma'am? And she said, can you read French? And they were proud to show off their French. Okay, well, here, read this, that line. I understand it's underlined in red. So they read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And she said, thank you for reading that to me. She said, do you know what that means? And they would say, no, ma'am, I don't know what it means. So she'd tell them. She had them, you see, so she told them what that meant. The missionary who had given her that Bible said that over the years, 24 of those young men became pastors, preachers, and evangelists. Oh, goodness. Wow. You don't have to be a theological expert to be able to tell someone about Jesus, folks. Don't stop there because you say, well, I don't know enough. You just got to know one thing, and I'm going to get to that one thing here before long. You think I'm not, but I am. You don't have to understand exactly how it happened. Verses 18, look at verse 18. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others were saying, how can a sinful man perform something like this? You don't have to understand everything. Pharisees figured somebody was trying to pull a fast one, you know. So they said, call his parents. We don't believe this man was blind from birth. Call his parents. We don't believe that this man, Jesus, he's talking about has healed him. So they called his parents. They said, is this your boy? Yes, sir, it is. Was he born blind? Yes, sir, he was. Well, how is it he's now seeing? That's never been done in the history of the world. We don't know. Now, they were scared to death. They didn't understand how it happened. We don't know. He's of age. Ask him how it happened. Verse 22 tells us they were scared because the word had gotten around Jerusalem that anybody who says that Jesus is the Messiah is going to be excommunicated. He's going to be put out of the synagogue and the temple and not allowed to come back. He's going to be ostracized by the rest of the community. So you can't say Jesus is the Messiah. So they couldn't say a good thing about Jesus. Ask him. Ask the boy. He's of age. He can tell you. We don't know. We don't know what happened to him. Only the Messiah would be able to give sight according to Isaiah 42, verse 7, right? When the Messiah comes, he will give sight to the blind. But he hadn't come that anybody knew about. The Pharisees didn't believe he had come anyway. Only the Messiah can give sight. They should have figured it out, shouldn't they? But they were so hard-headed. Pharisees dared you to call Jesus the Messiah. No one could explain it. Same thing today. How can Jesus take away sin? I don't know. What has the cross got to do with that? I don't know. What has the blood got to do with it? I don't know. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with anything? I don't know. I don't exactly know exactly how it happened. What do you think happened, boy? Well, they're asking him. You don't have to know everything. And look at the next one. You don't have to know everything about Jesus. Verse 24, look at this. So a second time they summoned the man who had been blind and told him, give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. Now here it is, what I've been telling you to wait for. Verse 25. He answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I know. I was blind, now I can see. That's the only thing I know. I was blind, but now I can see. Sometimes the only thing you know is, I was lost, but I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Have you sung that a million times? Do you practice it? One thing I know, the man says. You don't have to know everything. They realize they're getting nowhere fast. The Pharisees recall the man. See here now. Give God the glory. That was from the book of Joshua. That's how you put a person on the witness stand. Like today we swear them in and put your hand on the Bible, raise your hand, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, help of God. I take the fifth. Well, wait a minute. But anyway, that's what they did. Give God the glory. That meant you're being put on the spot here. You are swearing that this is the truth. You're not lying. I mean, you could die if you do this. Give God the glory, they said. We know this man is a sinner. Then the man says, the one thing that you need to know in verse 25, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything about where he came from, anything. All I know is one thing. I was blind, but now I can see. That's all I need to know. That's the one thing you need to know to tell somebody about Jesus. I was lost, but now I'm found. Why is this whole story so upsetting in John 9? So incredible, so hard to believe. Well, the Old Testament has no story of a blind person receiving his sight. A leper is saved, cleansed. Sick people are healed. Dying people are healed. But there's not one instant of a blind person being healed. That only comes in the New Testament. When you come to Jesus in the Gospels, you find more miracles about giving sight than any other type of miracle. Did you realize that? Let me give you some examples. Matthew 9, Matthew 12, Matthew 15, Matthew 21, Mark 8, Mark 10, Luke 7, and here in John 9. All these cases are blind people receiving sight, just like Isaiah had prophesied that when the Messiah comes, he will give sight to the blind. And now somebody's here giving sight to the blind. So what do you think? Who is this? Oh boy, that calls for a statement, right? One thing you need to know, I was blind, but now I see. They got in his face and they demanded, how did he do this? The blind man had had enough. You see, as he gets to the end of the story, he's had enough. Life is too short to use your new eyes on scowling, ugly faces. I already told you, he said. You want to ask again? Why are you asking me again? The blind man called their bluff. You ever play blind man bluff? He called their bluff. I've already told you. You want me to tell you again? Do you want to become his disciples too? I'm already his disciple now. You want to become his disciple, Pharisee? Now that blew up. You could have set a bomb off right there. No, we don't want to become his disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know where Moses came from. We don't know where this fella came from. Nobody knows him. And bless his pea-picking heart. this fellow who had been born blind came back at them and said, "So let me get this straight, you experts here. A man is going around doing the unheard of, something that's never been done, giving sight to the blind, and you can't figure out who he is? You need to read Isaiah, don't you? You don't know who he is? You can't figure it out for yourself?" Then he lays a little common sense on them. God does not work in the lives of sinners. This man is not a sinner. God just works in the lives of godly men and women. Nobody else in the history of the world has ever given sight to the blind before. If Jesus is not from God, he could not have done this. The man's given his testimony. "I just know one thing. I was blind, but now I see." That's it. That took the Pharisees. He might as well have grabbed him around the throat. They booted him out of the synagogue at that point. They said, "You are ostracized. You cannot no longer come to the temple. You can't come to any of our synagogues. You, because you've accepted this man Jesus as the Christ. And so stay away from us. You can't have a job. You can't come to synagogue. You can't be around decent folks." So they excommunicated him. But that's okay. It's better to walk in the light with Jesus than to stumble in the darkness with sinners, folks. So he finds himself alone. Or is he? Verse 35 says Jesus found him. Jesus brought him to full faith. "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is the Son of Man that I may believe in him?" You are talking to him and you have seen him. "Oh, then I believe. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe." Notice this man's journey. We're going to wrap it up right here. Notice his journey. It starts out in verse 1 that he's blind and hopeless. Nobody's ever been healed, born blind. Nobody's ever been healed like that. So it starts off in his journey, he is blind and hopeless. By verse 11, he says, "A man called Jesus," or something like that, "healed me." By verse 17, he says, "You know, he may be a prophet, a miracle worker." By verse 25, he is saying, "Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. I don't understand these things. I just know one thing. I was blind, but now I see." In verses 27 and 28, he indicates he is a disciple of Jesus when he said to them, "You want to be his disciple too?" And they didn't. In verse 33, Jesus is a man of God. And for the first time, he sees Jesus. Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? You have seen him and he's speaking to you." And by verse 38, his journey goes on. "Lord, I believe." And what does he do at the end? He worships him. He worships him. So let me ask you, where are you in this? In that journey that everybody makes, where are you? Way back at verse 1, blind and hopeless and helpless and lost. Is that where you are? But have you heard of Jesus? And Jesus came to you and has changed everything about your life. And you're trying to figure out now who this Jesus is. People tell me he can change my life. He can do something for me that nobody else has ever done. Save me from my sins. Is that where you are? Have you reached the point of saying, "I'm his disciple"? Maybe, maybe not. Somebody in here probably is not. Somebody's probably said, "Well, I think Jesus is a great guy. He did a lot of good stuff, but I'm not committed to him. I'm not a disciple." What would be wrong with doing that today? Can you figure out what reason you would have to deny Jesus' entry into your life today? That you couldn't call upon Jesus and say, "Lord, I'm blind. Help me to see. Lord, I'm lost. Oh, Lord, save me." You can do that. You know that, don't you? This invitation is open. This is a church that has an open invitation every Sunday. You can come. You can bow down here. You could talk to me. You could talk to somebody else and say, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want him to open my eyes to the truth. I want him to save me, for I am lost. And I want Jesus to save me. And you could say today, I want to be his disciple. You could say, I've been saved, but I'm not much of a disciple now. But today, I'm going to realize I know something. That Jesus is my Savior, and I'm not afraid of it. And maybe you could say today, I have not shared my faith with somebody that really needs to hear about Jesus. I just don't know how you do that, and I'm scared to try it. You just got to know one thing, right? I was lost, but now I'm found. People may not want your Bible. They may not want to hear about anything else, but they can't deny the fact of your testimony. I was lost, but I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I don't understand how it all happens, but by faith I receive Jesus as my Lord, my Savior. It's amazing grace. And this morning we give you an invitation, as I know this church does, and invitation hymn number 317, Only Trust Him. You could do that this morning. You could just trust Jesus. I don't know a lot. I don't know a lot about Jesus. We're just saying, only trust him. Only trust him. You can do that. You trust a lot of things. You trust in that pew you're sitting on now to not to let you fall in the floor. Trust in Jesus. Only trust him. Will you stand as we sing, If God Leads You to Do Business with Him? Come on this morning. We're